uncle was homeless, and he didn't tell anyone. And so the only person he could call was Pastor Tony down in Six Flags. And, well, he contacted us, and the first thing we could think of is try find him a place. So we all thought, okay, let's find him a these extended stays down there. And we did. He stayed a week there. He found a job. And then we were like, okay, we don't want to pay another $330 a week. Let's see if we can find an apartment for him or a roommate for him. So I went down there and I told him, okay, I'll go talk to a few of the sisters and brothers at Brother Tony's just to find out who knows of an apartment somewhere or, you know, where to start looking. And I went, I got some numbers and, but Pastor Tony told me, before you go, let me take you to an African store down there in Austell, and they list, on the window there, on the outside, you know, somebody looking for a roommate, and they have a list of numbers there. And we called all of them, and they were all taken. And then while we were in the car, I told my brother, well, let's go. And he said, too, let's go back in there and tell the shopkeeper that, you know, if somebody's looking for a roommate, just call me. And I left my number. And then there was somebody behind us who wanted to pay for whatever groceries he had. And then he had the conversation and he said, oh, brother, you paying $330, that's a lot in a week. I got a living room. You can come live with me. But I also know of a friend of mine who told me yesterday he's looking for a roommate. I said, okay, can you give us his number? And he did. And he said, well, let me call him first. So he did. And we contacted him and he was willing to take my brother. And we drove and he found a roommate now and he found a place to stay. So it was a coincidence. I told him it was not a coincidence that he walked in at that time we were having that conversation. And he had the whole conversation and decided to help. And so he's somewhere and he's settled in. He's working and we found him a car and all that. And that's why the last two Sundays I kind of had to be down there and, you know, settle him in. Yeah, but I thought that was just not a coincidence that that happened like that. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
That's right.
This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Yeah.
In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. Praise God. Are you sure that your anchor's gripping on that solid rock?
I like that.
Amen. Praise God. End times like these. Let's take up our offering. And I'm going to, I guess, little Jonas. Yeah. They just go back and forth. Little Jonas. This morning was Thomas.
I thank for this day and thank you for all we've done for us, and please let us have a safe service. Yes. And I pray for all the needy in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. As he passes that, let's just stand to our feet. Let's sing that song, When I Reach That City, and key of F, page 26 in the spiral book.
On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with glory it doth fill. I shall look on its beauty in the morning, when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word says whosoever will. And I'll find there a mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Death will never molest me in that city. Never leave me lying cold and chill. And I'll enter to live up there forever when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city. A pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on that hill. So I'll stay here. So I'll stay here until my Savior calls me, trying daily to perform His will. Then he'll say unto me, well done up yonder. When I reach that city on the hill, oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages. When I reach that city on the hill, sing that chorus one more time. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, oh, a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages. When I reach that city on the hill.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you know that the Bible says that you are that city? Amen. The bride coming down as a city adorned. Amen. The word, where the word abides, that's where, that's the city. Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Wade comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Good job, buddy. Love you, man.
I want to see you. To see you high lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Sing it to him.
Oh, high and lifted up. We're shining in the light of his glory.
You love him today.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy.
Think about him.
Oh, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Come to see him the right way. You'll see him in each other. You'll see him in the Word. And when you and I, what? The Word made flesh. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you this afternoon. Half your smiling faces anyway. Smiley eyes. Let's say smiley eyes now to the smiley faces, smiley eyes. Except for the ones. Do we have any more of those shields, Brother T? Yeah. T? We do. We do more. We have some more. Five more. Five more. And if we need to get some more, we will. But if you need one, they're convenient to have. Boy, it's hard to sing with them things, with the red, these cloth things on. It's just rough to sing, especially as you get a little bit older. Young people won't have to worry about it, but older people have to worry about stuff like that. So remember Wednesday, Brother Dale's already announced he's preaching on Wednesday night. So that's a good middle of the week jump we can have. Amen? Yeah! Also, remember, too, by way of a few announcements, next Sunday, Brother Jewel called, and I'll be preaching for him next Sunday, so you'll either do two or whatever he decides. He'll tell you Wednesday night. Okay, but I'll be at Brother Jewel Forney's on Sunday the 7th. Also on the 14th, I'll be at Brother Richard Hite speaking for him. And also on the 21st, Brother Trevor Emmons from Jeffersonville, I guess. He goes to Brother Nathan Bryant's church. He's the brother that, remember the little booklet, Seven Church Age book, the little booklet, the little study booklet that we got, all of us got one. Our Brother Trevor is the one that put that together. So he'll be here with us, Lord willing, on March the 21st, all right, and be speaking for us both services. So everybody got that? We'll be announcing it again. Also, on June the 17th, 18th, 19th, I'm going to keep saying it, we're going to have our Father's Day fishing trip, annual trip, and the sisters are going to have their annual Sister's Day fishing trip. They're going to find some water somewhere, so they might not be fishing. But keep all that in your mind. Write it down on your calendar so you don't come up one day and go, I forgot. So get you a big old calendar. Me and June got them all over the house now. We got all calendars for this and calendars for that, and we got a big one in there in the study. So we're still creatures of time. Yeah. So how many of us got to get up and go to work tomorrow? Then we're still creatures of time. Well, we might not be creatures of time, but we need to work and make some money. But for right now, let's just settle down and listen to what the Lord has for us. So we're still on eternal redemption. Today we're going to go into the, try to get through five of the dimensions. Boy, I got to studying a little bit on the fourth dimension on the radio waves, and it just kind of curled my toes, and I just said, no, we're going to stay simple. We're just going to stay simple. But I'll bring out some things that's really interesting, because the fourth dimension is the dimension that we can't contact. Right. We cannot contact the fourth dimension. We have to have a piece of equipment that catches, I mean, it's here. It's right here, right now. Right. Proving it by one thing. I'm speaking. It's going into this right here. By airwaves, it's going back there. And it's coming back through these speakers. So there you go. You know, but you can't see them. You can hear my voice. Sure, you got receptors to hear it, but you had to have something to hear with, because if I muffle this and cut it off, those in the back couldn't understand. So we had to have something extra to help us to contact that fourth dimension. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but we're not going to try to bore you. I just want us to know why we, in this plan of redemption, yesterday my whole thought was, as Brother Dale's whole thought was before the world. This plan's been laid out. He knew he's going to need a fifth dimension. He knew he was going to need a sixth dimension. He knew that we were going to, if we didn't have a fourth dimension, we'd have never got the prophet's message. Right. Never would have picked it up if we hadn't had that fourth dimension, where he stands up there in 1947 and he says, we've got this new device, I think maybe you said, or something. Gadget. We got this new gadget in 1947. And really, the first ones were on a wire. And then the next one were on the LP, like a record player. And then the next one were the eight inch reels, which are magnetic. It was a magnetic voice. It was a magnetic reel that picked up the voice and then it sent it back to me and you. So the voice of God in this age was used the fourth dimension more than anybody ever used it. Amen. So God had that dimension there. And you know what? There's another guy that uses it too. The devil uses it also. He puts all of his other junk through the fourth dimension. Your internet and everything else is in the fourth dimension. All right. So we'll talk about that just for a little bit. But I want to get on the chart just a little bit, because God knew what was going to happen. The plan was the way God saw it. So he had to have a fifth dimension. He had to have a sixth dimension. He had to have a paradise. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. He had to have a paradise, a place to wait before you could go into another dimension. Now see, you see where the Catholic Church is, Brother John, the Catholic Church sees Satan is so close. The Catholic Church says you got to go through purgatory before you can get into heaven. And purgatory is kind of that place between heaven and hell. Well, we're going to see that Brother Branham can totally tells us that the fifth dimension is hell, but it's not a burning hell. It's a place of holding. The Catholic Church is just saying, while you're down there getting held, we can pray you out for a little extra cash, for a little extra ATM work. We can get you out of hell. But no, you'll hear what the prophet said. He said, once you leave this earth, your decision was made here. Right. And you can't change it when you get there. Like Brother Dale's talking on predestination. See, that part, that is predestinated. So let's bow our heads. I think we got all the announcements out of the way. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you've given us already. We pray that you'd give us more, Father. Just pile it on to us today, Lord. But give us understanding that we can understand it. Ears to hear, eyes to see. And Lord, just be with each one. Lord, the six, Sister Christine and all the different ones. Ones that are outside, Lord, Brother Kern, he's coming out. And bless his heart, Lord, he's been to the church service, and we thank you for that. And we know one thing's for sure, that that effort has not been overlooked. You knew it before the foundation of the world, that we would want to come to church more than our sickness. But Lord, we have to do certain things, Lord, to keep it away. We pray that you'd just be with each one of us, bless us, take care of us, lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, you be the active participant in this service. You take over and do the work, Father. We pray for the bride around the world, that you'll take care of each one, Lord, and raise us up, Lord, so that we can get out of this place. We'll not be babies, Lord. We'll be full-grown Christians, that we can get out of here, Lord, and go home. We thank you for all things that you have given us, even this temporary home. We thank you for giving us that, Lord, our jobs and our health and all the different things, our family and all the different things that you've given us, Lord, to even be here in this first three dimensions, Lord. You've given it to us, Lord, for us to make a choice. And may our choice be you, Father. Amen. Bless each one, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, but Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood, well, that's hard to say, by the blood of bulls, goats, and calves. Bob got me messed up. Now he's got it up there. Bob's running out, so you can blame him. But by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So you may be seated in the Lord as his blessing. But remember what we're trying to get to. This plan of redemption, it's not changed. Can't change, won't change, will not change in midstream. This is the plan. The plan will work. God's already saw it work. Why in the world would you, you put your faith in this and you put your faith in your car. And I see some of y'all, you put faith in your car and your car, maybe your old mule kicks every once in a while and something part falls off. But now with God, his parts don't fall off. This plan that he has, that once you get on it, it's going to take you to the future home. Amen. And then God knew that you would decide, make the choice of whether to be a part of it or not. So he, having obtained eternal redemption for us, and as we're going to read here in Ephesians again, as we always read, because he chose us in him. So we were chosen in him. But let's read the first quote from Job 19:55. Brother Brown says, redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. Did you know redemption was even before the plan of redemption was laid out, before the world was ever formed? Think of that. God foreseeing. See, there's always foreknowledge. Right. Reason we have a problem with that word foreknowledge, because we don't have it. I wish we were foreknowing. But God is, he's not having a problem with that. God foreknew. He foreknew the plan. He foreknew the destiny. He foresaw what was going on. And like someone said, he said, I don't want to know what tomorrow holds. He said, I might not want to be there. So see, that's what Brother Brown even tells us. He said, God gives us what we need. But God saw down through 6,000 years of time. What was going to happen? Who was going to be here? What choice they were going to make? And even as Brother Dale was talking this morning, I thought, Brother Brown says, and the Bible tells us that your thoughts are louder in heaven than they are on earth. Why? They've already been said up there. They've already been said in the mind of God. Whatever your thoughts are, you thought it before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God. Not you standing up there thinking it. But he knew when you got here what you would think. Amen? So why be scared? Man, the promises of God. Just hold on to the promises of God. Because the promises of God will never fail. He'll lead us and guide us into what he say. He promised us all truth, not just part truth, all truth. All right? So God foreseeing and making a way of redemption before he even made the world. So see, Adam was covered. Eve was covered. They were already covered before they got here. If not, he would have had to kill Adam just as soon as what they did. And surely he would have killed Eve without even asking Adam. Because we're going to see that when we get to this land of paradise, see, paradise is not the fifth dimension, and paradise is not the sixth dimension. Paradise was a place of holding in the Old Testament to prove that they didn't have the new birth in the Old Testament. I'll read it to you because the blood of bulls and goats wouldn't allow them to go into the sixth dimension or into a dimension higher. They had to wait until Christ died. And when he did, he what? He emptied out paradise. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But look at Titus 1 verse 1. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So when did God promise you eternal life? Before the world began. When did he pay for your eternal life? Before the world began. Amen? You've just got to connect yourself to it. I like what one preacher said one time. He said, make sure that you have attached yourself to eternal life. Because you didn't come here with it. You got to find it. Find God and attach yourself to it. And once you attach yourself to eternal life, then that means you're chosen in him. So whatever he gets, you get. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans, he says, we're what? Heirs and joint heirs in Christ. Amen. So whatever he gets, we get. So guess what? If he has obtained eternal redemption for us, we're the recipient of it, and we enter into that. And now you're a part of the plan of redemption because somebody's going to get redemption through you.
Right.
Cup of water in my name. Being good to the bride. Somebody's going to get eternal life by just being good to you. Now they won't be bride. They won't be living in the city. But guess what? They'll be eternal. They won't be in a burning hell. They will be eternal because of you. So that makes you, Brother Chris, a part of the plan of redemption. You sisters, you say, well, we don't preach. You preach a sermon every time you get up out of the chair and go get in a car and go down to Walmart or go down to Target or go down to wherever, and you are an example of Christianity. And they'll either somebody be condemned by what they say about you or they'll be given eternal life by what they said about what you are doing on this earth. Thank God for that. That makes you part of the plan. Man, right? You are part of the plan of redemption. That's why the whole Christ is a mystery of God revealed. That's why that I believe that Brother Brown told us to go back to Christ the mystery of God revealed. If we didn't get it in the seals, go to Christ the mystery of God revealed. Because it's what? Where's Christ revealed?
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
Paul even picked that up and he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. To me, that's the seventh seal, is to realize that where Christ is. Christ is in you. Christ in you. The hope of God. But how are we going to learn about this? Through preaching. Amen? Through preaching. And studying. Right there it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. In other words, Paul's saying, he made the promise before the world was even formed. But he's going to have to get it to you by some way. He's got to come to you by some way. It's got to come, and even the Bible tells us the foolishness of preaching. Because you would think, oh man, why do I have to? That's the plan. That's the plan. You can't change it. I was going to say a certain city can't change it, but you know what I'm talking about. And people can't change the Word of God. Nobody can change the Word of God. Through the foolishness of the fivefold ministry, you will be perfected. No other way. Amen? Too much complacency when you just have to press play, as Brother Aaron was talking about Wednesday night. Just a lot of complacency when you just kind of can sit somewhere and turn it off when you get tired and need to eat your potato chip or something, or change into your jammies. No. It's an effort to overcome to get to church. It's an effort. I know it is. And some of you drive a lot further than I do. I was thinking about this the other day. Some of you drive hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And, you know, we live 8 miles away. We're fortunate in that to be that way. But some of you, it's a little bit more of a struggle. But I believe God will give you a lot more blessings. You know, God will bless you. Hopefully it freaks your transmission. Are we all with transmission? Now, what's going on here? I think that Sister Johnny's check engine light came on to several others around here. But we're going to pray that you'll get to, like T said, we'll get them things fixed. We won't have to deal with them no more. Ephesians 1, verse 1, or let's go to verse 4. According to this, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption. Now, Brother Dale, I'm sure is going to cover this, but everybody's predestinated to adoption. Everybody. Because you receive, according to Romans 8, verse about 14 or so, it says you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Father, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. You're a crying, babbling baby. You start out down at the bottom of the pyramid. You start out with diapers. You start out with drinking milk. Amen? But he doesn't want you to stay that way, because he's give you, he's predestinated someone to come to adoption. So he had to make a way, like they told the colored brother. You know, he said, well, Mose, can you jump through that wall? And he said, well, if God wants me to, he said, he'll have to make a hole. If God tells me to jump through the wall, he'll have to make a hole for me to get through it. Exactly. So God made us a way to come to adoption. Right here, verse 5. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory. I was thinking this morning, you know, Brother Dale, you're speaking on the predestination. What's John 3:16? For God so loved not one individual. For God, now he knows who won't and who will, but he's got to put the blanket out there. Because how many times have you heard that? For God so loved the world. He loved everybody in the world. He has no hate, as he was talking. There's no hatred towards somebody. The part of it is you're hating God. I didn't like him too much when I was coming up. I wanted to do the things that was contrary to him. I don't know about you, but I wanted to do them. Then you know what? He took the want out. When he took the want out and I attached myself to that eternal, guess what? Paul says we must have the mind of Christ, not a mind of Christ. Or not a part of the mind of Christ that thought about Adolf Hitler and Judas and all these different ones. No, you and I are literally a part of that thought. We're not just the thought that goes out, as we're looking at in the fourth dimension. It's not just that thought, but we receive it and it becomes a reality. What you receive on the books and the tapes and from preaching and from talking to brothers and sisters, when it sparks a revelation in your heart, that's eternal. That didn't come from these first three dimensions. You can't communicate with God in these first three dimensions. The devil's playground is right here. Because remember, God is not in time. God is in life, but it's eternal life. And God's also in matter, because he made the world. You look at the first verse. God created the heaven and the earth. He created matter before he created you. Something solid. Something that we can, that he, when he put Adam on it, there was Adam. And then Adam got to walk on this matter. But what happened though at the fall, and I hope you're getting this, when the fall happened, it slowed everything down to where now the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. You can't take your matter, and take it into another dimension now. Adam couldn't move all the way around the world and be just, have all control. No, he was confined because why? A carnal mind began to tell him, now he's got to be a daddy, he's got to be a father, he's got to be a husband, he's got to be this, he's got to be that. It just shrank down to where these dimensions that Brother Branham was telling us, I pulled a quote up but I didn't bring it, where there was a fog came over the earth, and there was a fog came over Adam, basically between his soul and the rest of him. Because remember, let me tell you something. I was thinking about that this morning while Brother Dale was preaching. Something just struck about a virgin. You know, a virgin is, you can say, well, I'm not a virgin. If you're born again today, you better be one. But you're only virgin in your soul. Your soul is a chaste virgin to Christ, one man. Amen? Now, we came through all the other husbands. That's why they all got to be dead. That's why that's got to die. If that died, do you know if a sister is married and her husband dies and she marries again, she's a virgin. Amen? Now, not like the Catholic does. It's not going to convert you back to a real one. You understand what I mean? But in God's eyes, what a great God. What if he just said, no, what if he just said, no, no way. You got to live single the rest of your life. No. He made provisions. If your husband dies or your wife dies, you're free to marry only in the Lord. We know those, there's stipulations, but still there is stipulations that you can do that. Well, that's why that Christ can be married to you when all your husbands are dead. He can marry you and you're a virgin. So in your soul, we're all virgins in soul. And God works in that soul. Boy, not in my notes, but I'd like to preach on that for about 2 hours. The virginity of your soul. The purity. And you know what? Being a virgin, you don't know a man. You hadn't known a man yet, so you don't know all the junk that needs to be.
Right.
Oh, come on. That's why Paul said, he said, I wish that you could stay the way you are.
Right.
Why? He knew all the things that he said. You know, remember Brother Brown said that Brother Brown talked about that. He said, well, Paul said, I wish the boys would stay celibate and the women would stay celibate. He said, because then you have Christ as your head. Then you'd have put more into Christ. But once you get married, you got a wife. Then you got an economy, then you got friends, and then you got in-laws, and then you got, you understand what I'm saying? It's not to say, please, if you want to get married, if you have a desire, please do. It's the most wonderful thing in the world besides salvation is being married to a wonderful woman.
Amen.
And the men said,
amen.
Amen. I don't know how I got on to that, but we're on still in Ephesians 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood. But see, that's all part of it though. Cause see, you and I were dirty. We were prostitutes. But by the plan of redemption, he has taken what was bad, Rahab, woman at the well. He has taken that bad and made it pure. Now he couldn't turn Rahab back to a virgin. But in type, you and I were just like her. We had all kind of thoughts, seeds planted. But when Christ comes along, when Salmon said, where's your accuser? She said, I don't have any. They're all dead. Jesus looked at that woman and said, I can't even condemn you because I haven't seen it. He doesn't see our sin. He hears our voice. This is all part of the plan of redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, not somebody else, not another church age, he's made known to us the mystery of his will. And Brother Branham said, what was his will? To adopt us. So we've come to the stage, you heard where Brother Branham was on that tape where he's talking about Luther being the two shoots, couldn't come to total perfection. Now they were born again in the body of Christ, but that's not perfection. You can't perfect, you're not even got a seed yet. But when you come even to the stalk, not seed yet, but the seed's inside of it, come to the tassel, not seed yet, but it covers the seed. But you and I are come back to where we have exactly what was planted in the ground 2,000 years ago called Jesus Christ. You and I are part of that. We are that seed now. And what are we doing with that seed? We're planting it in soil. We're planting it in earth. And watching the fruits come up through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The plan of redemption. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Look, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, it took time. It took time to go through the church ages. It took time to get a prophet here on earth. It took time that we could understand what a first seal was and a second seal and a third seal and all the different seals. Where we could understand the revelation that was, what, sealed up until the end time.
Glory.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. In other words, not in 13,000 denominations in the message, but one. One. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, what? According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God looked down through time and he said, okay, you're going to need a Martin Luther. Okay, you're going to need a John Wesley. Okay, you're going to need the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, 1906. Then I'm going to send a prophet. According to Malachi 4, we're going to need that. Listen, we can sit and listen to a good justification message. But what's that going to get us? It's not even going to put us in the body. Good justification message. But if you'll preach a progression of justification, it'll take you to what? Adoption. Amen? Those who he's justified, he's already glorified. But you know what? It's not just a, you don't just drop kick it into heaven. No, nope. You got to what? Play the game.
Right.
You got to get in the plan. Yeah. And listen, this plan will work.
Yeah.
It's already worked.
Yeah.
If we'll realize that, I'll read you a quote in a minute. I think I may have left it. I think I left it till later. Where Brother Brown said, what do we fear?
Right.
It's all been destroyed. By Jesus Christ. It's all been destroyed. When he came out of that grave, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Romans 8, verse 28, we know all things work together for good to them to love the Lord, or love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. I'm just going to read through this. We've covered it. Brother Dale's going to cover it real good on Wednesday night. Also did predestinate what? To be conformed to the image. Listen, God didn't have to conform to your image. Your image is rotten. My image was rotten. The first image that came on this earth that I'm looking at is dying. But if you're conformed to what? To image the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And then the next statement is, God be for us, who can be against us? All right? So let's read number one. We've already read this before, but I think Brother Dale may have read it this morning. But the word predestinate, that's not a good word to use. The word foreknowledge is better. Is everybody getting this? I'll promise you, look at me and wake up! There is a rotten, wrong teaching in this message about predestination. It's false. It will lead you nowhere. False doctrine cannot take you up that statue of a perfect man. You can say what you want to. You might get part of it. Who just wants part of God? I want everything. He's got the door open for me and you. The door's open. The door's open for me and you. You know what? Step in!
Right.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. You gotta reach and get it off the table and put it in your mouth.
Right.
Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. That's what I mean. You got to look foreknowledge, foreknow, foreknew,
right.
Foreknown,
right.
Foresee. Before anything, he foreknew. He also foreknew all these false doctrines too. He foreknew the good with the bad.
Yep.
Sorry. You know why? That way he can make sure that his plan works. Because
right.
He looks at the tactics of the devil.
Yeah.
And he's just, his plan's gonna work.
Right.
And you know what? He's gonna make the poor old devil, he's a part of the plan. Because
right.
He's the one that torments me and you every day, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that gets us, and we have to repent. We have to say, I'm sorry. God doesn't mind you say, I'm sorry. He hates it when you don't. Amen? Or forgive me, Lord. But God's not going to set an order, a little hole. Does everybody understand that? That's what Brother Dale was talking about. God did not predestinate cement. He didn't just say, this is it right here, going no other way. No, he saw what would happen. He knew what you would choose. Therefore, he could predetermine your destiny. That's what predetermined or predestinate. But look, he predestinated us to be conformed to his image. There's a group of people. That's why you can't say, well, now I'm predestinated, so it doesn't matter what I do. Now, that's one in doctrine in the message. I'm predestinated. I'm already in the millennium. I'm already this great something. Well, then you get adulteries, you get drunks, you get... Sorry, I see it. I can name names because of these doctrines that's come through the message. You know why? Because it's so close. It's so close. It makes you feel good. It makes you want to do other things. No, let's stay in the Word of God. If it's born to you, then it just be born to you. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And the way it's taught around here, we don't run the aisles and we don't scream and holler. And maybe you like that. That's okay. It's all right to get somebody in that does. But what are you hearing? What are you taking home? What are you applying to your life? I really had rather you sit and be quiet and listen. I really would. I like a little bit of shouting and emotion. That's not bad at all. Don't get me wrong. But can you sit down and tell me what I just said?
Right.
That don't happen a lot. You can't do three things at once, I promise you. But anyway, I don't know where that come from. But set in order like a little hole. So see, that's what God then what? Predestinates by what? Not by His will, by your will. If God predestinated, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him. Now look, that's a big old blanket. But now remember, He knew who would and who wasn't, but He can't just say, for God so loved the world that Ray Gabriel's the only man that's going to get it. And I'm going to send my son. Remember what Brother Brown says about that? He says, some people think that, and I've heard it myself. Well, Jesus came down here to die, and whoever felt sorry for Him enough, that's who He was going to save. Oh, come on, people. Good grief. No. He knew before the foundation of the world who He was coming for, but being God, being a righteous judge, Bible calls Him a righteous judge. So in other words, He's not a judge that is like the judge that you go to that couldn't make a mistake, listens to two sides, does not have foreknowledge. He has to take what? The evidence that He's given, and sometimes a lawyer will give them false evidence. Nothing against lawyers, but they lie. They lie to protect their client. Satan does that. Ooh. But God's already seen the end from the beginning. He already knows what happened. He knows what's going to happen. So in God, in order to be God, He knowed the end from the beginning so He could predict and set things in order to happen.
Right.
You know, God, even before the foundation of the world, He knew we'd want to go see the Grand Canyon. He knew some people would love mountains. He knew some people would love valleys. He knew some people would love oceans and seas and different things like that. He knew that. That's why He put it out here. God of variety. He's the one that made it. All these different natural wonders. Why is there seven? Seven's completion. He made seven natural wonders, and nobody could make them things but God. Nobody can make them things and give man knowledge to do these things, but seven natural wonders. All right, now, here's a wonder that man has wondered at since the beginning of time. Number two, how can I take a cucklebur and make a grain of wheat out of it? Impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be done is because inside that cucklebur has been transmitted from a cucklebur wheat. A cucklebur to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that cucklebur, it'll produce a grain of wheat. That's the whole thing. Satan thinks he's got you, boy. He's got that prophet's up there in Jeffersonville, and he's been dead for 60 years, and that cucklebur is laying up there dead. Boy, is he going to get a rude awakening when the rapture gets ready, when the dead saints come out of the ground, he's going to go pick that cucklebur up because it was transferred one day to a grain of wheat. That grain of wheat's going to pick that cucklebur up and make it a wheat. We're going to come right back here, Brother Tatum, and all the different ones are coming back. They're not coming back as cucklebars. They're coming back as wheat because the wheat is greater than the cucklebur. What's inside you today by the new birth is greater than anything man can produce on the face of this earth. Doesn't matter what it is. And even though, if we get to it, we'll get to it. If we don't, we won't. The fourth dimension. Listen, you and I are barred from the fourth and the fifth dimension. and the sixth dimension in this life. We're barred from it. Can anybody hear? Hey, listen, if you're hearing voices in your head, we need to you need some prayer. I mean, really. But you can't hear AM 55 going through your head right now. If you can, then hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. But can you? No, you're listening to me. Or you're listening somewhere else, or your mind's over somewhere else, right? But it's going right through this building. Brother Brown said radio waves going right through this building. Doesn't matter about the thickness of the walls. But it's going right through this building. Right? But you can't pick it up. See, we're barred from it. We've been barred from the sixth dimension. Brother Branham was allowed to go beyond the curtain of time to tell us what he saw, but he had to come back into this dimension. And he died in this dimension. He couldn't take his natural body over to the sixth dimension. No one's ever took their natural body. Why? Because the kookaburra stays here. The wheat's what goes in the other dimension, because it's what? It's Christ. That's right, because there's been a life of wheat put in the kookaburra. And the life of the kookaburra has been taken out. But the nature of the kookaburra is still sticky. He's talking about the outside guy. And it will be until this new life has fully been developed. Now, we've read that enough. We know that. When will that happen? That will happen at the change. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. We got to get so close to that in this life till the dead saints will come out of the ground by what we say. That kookaburra may be standing there. That's why that the devil, he can't understand it. You know, we're all sitting here. We're getting older. We're all have trials and tribulations. And the devil's going, why can't they just stay home? Why can't they just curse God and die? Why can't they just, because that's all he knows. He can't get in that inside of the inside of you. He can't change that inside man once you've been, what? Once that nature's been dead, taken out of you, and be alive, the Bible says, in Christ. Satan can't understand that. Why? That's not happened to him, because he decided that that's not what was going to happen to him. Amen? Pretty simple. Psalms 139 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You and I had to come to this earth. We had to. What happened to Adam and Eve? That stuck them in those three dimensions, and then you had to have the sex act in that dimension, because it never happens in any other dimension. Only in the first three. Time, life, and matter. It happens in this dimension. It can't happen in another dimension. Amen? We have a spiritual birth, a spiritual seed planting from now on. But you got to get here first by Psalms 139:16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Your name was written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, because God knew you'd want it. But see, he knew that Judas Iscariot's name could be put in the book of life and be taken out because of the things he'd done while he got here. And see, a lot of the things Brother Branham tells you, if you really break it down, and we've done it over the years, Brother Dale has, not we, Brother Dale broke it down to us, and even Brother Brown tells us, he said, when you become sanctified, your name goes on the book as a believer. Well, now, it's an act of a play. It's not an angel sitting up there going, well, now, his name wasn't on here, so I'm just going to write it on, and then I'm going to erase it off if I need to. No, it's an act of a play. It's an allegory. It's telling you what happens that you, Brother Brown said, your name goes on the book as a believer. So you move into a believer mentality under sanctification. But now that doesn't put you in the Lamb's book of life. That's been there before the foundation of the world, and it's not going to ever be changed. But you've got to move over into that. And God knows whether you will or whether you won't. Really pretty simple. All right, let's look at the dimensions real quick. Light, time, and matter. And he proved it in Luke 16, verse 25. Let's go to that. It said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Bless you. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. In other words, there's something there. But now remember, they can see each other. See, in the Old Testament, You got to remember there were several things that happened. You look at the Witch of Endor. I heard Brother Branham preaching the other day. He said that some people said that she just saw like an apparition. Brother Branham said no. She saw Samuel. Because she said, I see God's. And said, why have you told me this? And there's their sin. He said, Brother Branham said, there stood Samuel in his prophet's robe, had on his prophet's clothes, and he was standing there, and it wasn't an apparition, he said, because that thing talked back to her. And he prophesied, still in another dimension in paradise, he prophesied and looked at Saul and said, tomorrow you're going to be with me. So how real is that? But now Brother Brown said, you can't do that now. You can't bring somebody out of another dimension. Why? Because the fifth dimension was set up. The sixth dimension was set up later on. When Jesus Christ, I believe, when he emptied up paradise, see, you can't do that anymore. And you know, for those of you that went with us to Jeffersonville a few years ago, I'll just say this. They used that as a scripture to bring Brother Branham back. Heard it with their own ears. I just can't, that's grabbing at straws. That's Old Testament. That's a witch bringing a prophet back. How in the heavenly days do you want to get a witch to bring Brother Branham back? But that was their whole pretense is, well, that happened back then. It can happen now. But remember, that only happened under the blood of the bulls and goats. That did not happen and cannot happen now. Because we'll look and read that paradise was emptied out. When Jesus came and went and preached to the souls in prison, Brother Brown said he came right back up, picked up paradise, and took him into another dimension.
Right.
Everybody got that? Luke 16 says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, there's no way to cross back and forth into another dimension. Once you're dead, you're dead. I mean, even though the Witch of Endor brought Samuel up into this dimension, it didn't change Samuel.
Right.
It really didn't change Saul. He was going to die the next day anyway. Right? So it didn't change anything.
Right.
And see, it didn't change anything when Brother Brown went across the curtain of time because he had to come back into this dimension. His soul went to that dimension. His body didn't go. Do I need to read it? We've read it for years. He said, I looked back and there laid my body on the bed. So what was in the sixth dimension? His soul somehow had transferred out of his body for mine and your, for us, not for anybody else, but for our, whatever you want, for our information to take away the sting of death. Because Paul said, death towards your sting, grave towards your victory. Now remember, he went across the curtain of time. But remember, he only saw his people.
Right.
Brother Branham didn't see Paul's people. He only saw his people.
Right.
He said, who are these, Branhams? He said, no, they're your converts. He said, well, did Paul make it? Well, then you know what? If Paul was in that dimension, he could have looked and saw Paul.
Right.
He didn't see Paul. He saw his converts.
Right.
You will be gathered with your people and brought before the Lord. The ones that will be last to be first, the ones that will be first to be last.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
But it didn't change Brother Branham. It changed him. Sure, it changed him. You understand what I mean. It didn't change him where he had to stay over in this dimension. Actually, he'd been there. He went over there to look and tell us, but he had to come back and get back in that kookaburra again that his mom and daddy brought. But he come to a place to realize that wasn't his real mama and daddy, really. You understand what I mean? But then he had to physically die, and that kookaburra's laying up there, and I hate to say that, but that's just all we are, every one of us. Paul, kookaburra, Irenaeus, Martin, that part that was brought here by mom and daddy having an act, has got to stay here. But the soul is what's the important thing. That's what moves between the dimensions. That's what God can speed up and God can make faster. We can't do it. Sure, God's give us a radio or whatever we want to say, television, to receive that information from another dimension.
Right.
But you and I are not going to go to that dimension.
Right.
We're not going to the fourth dimension.
Right.
We're either going to five or six.
Yeah.
You're not going to seven either.
Right.
Because you're already in seven.
Yeah.
inside in your soul, sitting in heavenly places. Right? let's not be confused. But we've got light, time, and matter. Now remember, time will continue, but one day time's going to run out, right? When we get into the future home, there'll be no time. Amen? But we're still going to have light, and we're still going to have matter, so it's not going to do away with all that, but it's going to be a different kind of light. It's not going to be a light that we need. We need sunlight. Listen, if we didn't have natural sunlight, we'd die. Natural sunlight. If we didn't have spiritual sunlight, spiritually you'll die. Wither up and die. And let's pray that the Lord will give us some sunshine. I've had enough of this gloomy weather. But if this is what God wants us to have, but you know what? We can pray. You say, how? You just said that you can't change. God knows whether you're going to pray or not. God knows whether you're going to pray earnestly that it rain or pray earnestly that it don't rain. Amen? Let's look at number two. Let's skip number one. Present stage of my ministry, Brother Brown tells us about time, light, and matter. You have five senses of the body, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now, none of these senses will declare God. What did God give us those five senses for? To declare the earth, or to what? Contact with the earth. Now, listen, let me get this point to you, that even though Adam had to be put in a human body, amen? It wasn't that he was blind, and then when God put him in a human body, he could see. No, remember, Adam ruled the world not even in a flesh body yet. Spiritual body first. Then he put him in a natural body. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen? Amen. Put him in a natural body so that he can declare those senses to the earth. But before then, he could see, and not like... I think somebody said one time, said, well, we didn't know about our senses. Well, man, look at them over in the sixth dimension. Brother Brown said, I felt them. I knew they were women. Right? When they hugged them, but there was, look, there was no filial love. There was no lust. It was all agape love. When you take all that other love out, you can hug a sister. Don't try it now. You'll see you're in this dimension. Still got a carnal mind. Kuckabur still works. Amen? But when we get over on the other side, he had feeling. He had questions. Who is that? Right? And the lady said, that 90-year-old woman was converted in your ministry. And he said, there she was, a 18-year-old beautiful woman. So he had see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, but it's greater than he had in this dimension. And that's the same way with you and I. This is the so limited part of our... Listen, this is the most limited you'll ever be. Even though we look at the advancement of science, we might get in fourth dimension, we may not. But you look at the advancement of science, and you see what they've done. You know they got rockets now. Used to, when they shot the rocket out, you know, the rocket would have to go at an angle, and this part would drop off, and this part would drop off, and then it would come back, and it would have to have a parachute, and they'd have to go out there in the middle of the ocean and pick them up, right? They're not doing that now. You see them the other day? I think it was Elon Musk. They got two rockets. They fired them. They went out, went around the world, come back, and landed right on the same pad that they went off on. Landed them things, looked just like a pencil sticking up. And they just landed it right back on Earth. Technology. Do you know your cell phone? Well, some of you. Maybe Danny's flip phone. I don't know about that. But someone says, what is a flip phone? I saw one the other day at Walmart. They were giving them away, I think. But you've got more technology in your phone today than was on the first lunar, what they sent to the moon, not just going around the world, what they sent to the moon. You've got more technology in your phone than they did taking them to the moon and back. You've got it in your phone. You see how much advanced? Well, now how far, though, I was thinking the other day, how far advanced that is, you're going to let the devil advance further than God? If that happens in the natural, you and I should, in the spiritual, we should be more advanced than we were before. Right. We should be able to hear from God. Right. Brother Brown said we would have supernatural intelligence. Right. Be able to hear from God. But none of these senses we got declares God. When God made man, he made him in his image instead of man's. And he put him in five senses to contact his earthly home, not to contact God with. But now remember, you got to contact through that to get to God. But remember, what you see, what you see is not all God. You understand what I mean? Taste, feel, smell, and hear. These senses don't declare God. They declare the earthly home. Where the man had to contact his earthly home, he had to see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But faith is the substance. Now see, faith, you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. You can't taste it. Literally. You understand what I mean? Literally. But by spiritual eye of faith, by spiritual hearing, by spiritual feeling, and the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So there's your taste. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But look, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You do not see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, or hear it, but you believe it. See what I mean? Now we'll continue on a little bit further. Exodus 20 and John 12. We see many times people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoked. What was happening? God was bringing the message to Moses on the top of a mountain. Amen. John 12 verse 28 says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How's he going to glorify it again in me and you? Amen. We got to have a thunder sound in this message. The people therefore that stood by though heard it, that it thundered. Like Brother Chris said, you know, and I've met people that says, oh, we leave those seals alone. We leave those thunders alone. We don't know what. You're not preaching the message then. You're not preaching the message if you're not preaching the seals and the thunders. Oh yeah, you got your milk. But Brother Brown didn't come just to give us milk. Paul gave us milk. But he said, I like strong meat. And that's what we got. The people therefore stood by, heard it. Listen, we heard the thundering. How many millions of people by the way of the fourth dimension has heard the prophet of God's voice? Millions. Untold millions upon millions have heard it. They heard it in the time of the prophet. And a lot of them will tell you that they just went to see the miracles. Yeah, they'll tell you that. If they're real honest, they just went to see the miracles. So they weren't hearing sure, they were hearing what was going on. They were seeing what was going on. But they weren't getting the message. Not in the years of preparation. And me and Brother Diego was talking about it. It's not in the years of preparation. But when he brings it, in other words, when he thunders something that no one else can understand except the bride. It's something for me and you. The people around it are going to get thunder. They're going to hear a voice. They're going to see this. They're going to see lights flashing. But do they hear the voice? Because that voice is not just to this ear. It's to your spiritual ear. Revelation 10 verse 1. So almighty angel, this is all for me and you. Verse 4, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. In other words, John saw what they said. So if John can write it, I ought to be able to understand it. Because John was a born again believer just like I am, but he did not have a prophet, a seventh angel prophet telling him what they said. We have had a seventh angel prophet messenger tell us what it said because of what happened out in Arizona in 1962. We'll read that in a second, but look, Jehovah Jireh, 1961. They tell me when a plane is trying to get through the sound barrier, it just almost shakes the bolts out of it. Have you ever watched when Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier? He thought the plane was going to fall apart. But once he got through that 700 miles an hour, broke the sound barrier, he said it was just like floating on ice. No nothing. It's just getting through that one little, and that was everybody. See, that's that barrier that everybody's afraid of because it starts shaking about 600 miles an hour. And you think your plane's going to fall apart. But look what Brother Brown said. Look, it almost shakes the bolts out of it. But after through that sound barrier, it's all right. Then it can just run with ease. If we can just break through that static of superstition and things, then the Holy Spirit just begins to fall around like anointing and just blesses the people. But so many people of today are so babied, just petted, little petty. What? Once the ship starts shaking, the rats get off first. Sorry about that. Who's the first one off? Anyway. But see, man had come to a natural thing. He came to that sound barrier. They'd get to that 600 mile an hour spot and they'd back off. They'd get to that 600 mile an hour spot, maybe 620, and they'd think, man, my life's going to fall apart. Everybody with me now? My life's going to fall apart because everything's shaking. But if they would have only went, I think it's 620 miles an hour is when it really starts shaking. If they'd only went, just push the throttle. That's what Chuck Yeager did. He said, I just made myself push the throttle because he still had throttle left. He said, I made myself force that throttle. He said, when I hit that 800 mile, he said, that thing went kaboom. Everybody heard it. He said, but it was just like flying on ice. He said, there was no bumps. He said, it was just smooth sailing. Is that what me and you've come up to? Is that what me and you've come up to in our life? Amen. Just remember, just a few more miles an hour. Just to press that throttle just a little bit more. Listen, when things get hard, press the throttle.
Right.
How you want to get out of a shaking car, Donnie? How you want to get out of a shaking car that's out of, you know, that thing will get about 60 miles an hour and hear that thing will start going, right? Because your wheels are out of balance. But what, you either back off or go 70. Let's go 70. Right? Let's push through this thing that I know people are worried about the virus and people are worried about these different things. Humanly, we all should be worried. We should all be cautious. But still, if we don't push through this thing, just like Chuck Yeager, he said, I knew there was more throttle. Listen, there's more to this than what we're seeing. There's more throttle. Have you ever seen y'all have to forgive me, I'm watching airplane videos. I may want to try to fly an airplane one day. But anyway, you got a throttle. And you push that thing all the way to the front. Ryan's downstairs. He knows what I'm saying. That throttle goes all the way in. Well, that's your takeoff speed. But you don't keep that throttle up there to blow the engine up. You have to back the throttle back off some. But what Chuck Yeager, he said, I looked down. He said, I saw there was about 2 or 3 more inches of throttle. And he said, I just... It went through the sound barrier, and see, now that was only 700 miles an hour. A regular airplane that you fly flies at about 500 miles an hour. So it's normal now. I mean, you got jet fighters that fly at 1,500 miles an hour. So they're twice what Chuck Yeager was. Why? Because the advancements of technology. You have artificial intelligence now that flies the plane for you. Brother Brown says here, let's just condense this down. Number 4, reason I'm saying this, I want you to know what happened in this end time.
Yeah.
What broke a sound barrier in this end time? No other time. The Wright brothers, 30 miles an hour in a pedal bicycle, run off of Kitty Hawk and made it about 100 feet at 30 miles an hour with a bicycle. You know, twirling the propellers.
Right.
Then you had the old Sopwith Camel that you... Had one, I mean, it was maybe 100 miles an hour. Then you come up to jet engines. And then you come up and you got now supersonic.
Right.
Those two rockets was like at 14,000 miles an hour. 14,000 miles an hour? Wow. There was a blast. Let's go on down. He's talking about the birds. Watch. It was little birds, bigger birds. No sooner that they got out of my sight, I turned again and looked westward. What happened? There was a blast that shook the whole earth. What was happening? The sound barrier was being broke.
Amen.
By a supersonic jet. They can call whatever that is they want to. It wasn't a jet. It was God.
Amen.
Coming into this dimension.
Amen.
To give us something that's never been here before.
Amen.
They've never had a cloud like this. But every time you break the sound barrier, you look at the pictures. When that thing goes at 700 miles an hour, there's a cloud forms all the way around the airplane. Oh, hallelujah! It's around us now! You just gotta see it! You say, Brother Wade, that's wrong. No. The Bible says a great cloud of witness. Right. We've got it all around us. Why? Because we're breaking the sound barrier. How you think we're going to get out of here? We're going to have to break some kind of barrier to leave this earth.
Amen.
Not leave, just step over into a faster dimension. That was a blast that actually shook the whole earth. For those of you on tape, if you don't believe this, you turn it off. Okay? I'm giving you time. I'm going to take a drink of water. First a blast. Thought it sounded like a sound barrier. Ever what you call it when planes cross the sound comes back to the earth. Just shook, like roared everything. Then it could have been a great clap of thunder.
Right.
And lightning light. I didn't see the lightning. I just heard that great blast that went forth that sounded like it was south from me towards Mexico. But it shook the earth. And when it did, I was still looking westward. And way off into where? Eternity. I saw a constellation of something coming. It looked like it might have been little dots. Remember Brother Brown said, I sat up there in the woods and he said, I want to get something from God. He said, 2 times 2 is 4. 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 What? Coming down into this dimension faster, from a faster place into this place. That's why I believe that cloud came. Those angels came from an eternal dimension into this dimension. There could have been no less than 5, no more than 7. But they were in the shape of a pyramid, like these messengers coming. And when it did, the power of Almighty God lifted me up to meet them. He's the only man that could have survived that. If not, somebody else would have. And I can see it. It's never left me. 8 days is gone and I can't forget it yet. I never had anything to bother me like this. My family will tell you. I could see those angels, those shaped back wings, traveling faster than sound could travel. They came from eternity. Listen, what we got, the message we got came from eternity.
Yeah.
In a split, like a twinkling of an eye, that Bible. Not enough to bat your eye, just a twinkle. They were there. I didn't have time to count. We know there were 7 afterwards. He comes back and tells it again. I don't have time no more than just look. Mighty ones, great, powerful angels, snow white, wing set heads. And they were, and when it did, I was caught up into this pyramid, a constellation. They came into light, time, and matter, and it made a noise. It created a cloud. But was it the picture that was took, or was it the experience that he had that you and I are looking at? We're looking at the voice that came behind it. We're looking at the voice that came into this light, time, and matter and was put on recording tape and that you and I can hear it. And it's the voice of God speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that we're recipients of that. Because you know what? There's a group of people said that's false. There's a group of people said that was just a regular rocket. A group of people don't even know that that even exists. When you look at people and you go to a flea market and you go, hey, you got a Time magazine. Is it Time or Life? Time? If you got a Time magazine, 1963, you know, whatever it is. And they're going, dude, I wasn't even born back then. Why? Because it doesn't mean nothing to them. But to you and me, how much would we pay to get one? Somebody want to say how much they paid to get one? I think it's up in about $300 now just to buy a 25 cent. Why? Because it means something to us. But listen, it means nothing if you ain't got the voice behind it. Because remember, this whole thing, that whole scene, don't turn it, that whole scene was to take Brother Branham and put him in a position of adoption, if you want to say that. But it told him to go back to Jeffersonville. The seals were not revealed out there in Arizona.
Right.
He said, go, they said, go back to Jeffersonville. It'll be told you then what to do.
Right.
But he had to have an experience first, knowing that it came from eternity and that he was going to get a message that was going to break a group of people out of this three dimensions. And get us out of here. Because the seals are the full plan of redemption. Not just part. It's the full plan of redemption. Everybody okay? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's just do the fourth dimension and we'll do the fifth later on. Brother Bob, you won't have to pull up all that. But if you got your little things here, you can look on it. It says the fourth dimension. It's the tree of knowledge. And see, that fourth dimension is where all that knowledge, it's science. If you look here, it's science or the tree of knowledge. Brother Brown tells us that man has what? Broken into God's laboratory. Because when you look in this fourth dimension, that's where I picked up a bunch of things. I'm going to read a few of them to you. It's really interesting. Then we'll close. We'll pick this up next time. Brother Brown, number five, let's read present stage of my ministry. Now, but we have contact through science, the fourth dimension as it was, because coming right through this building now comes pictures, voices of radio, pictures on television, that our senses does not contact that. But yet they have a tube or a crystal that picks up those ether waves and manifests them. So you see right in this building now is live actions of people in the air, live voices. They're here. They're absolutely the truth. And the only thing you do, they catch it on. I don't understand the mechanics of these things that science has invented. But we know that it proves to us that there is a fourth dimension. Now, we know there is a fourth dimension. Why? Because you turn on a radio. You go and talk on a cell phone. You go to the internet, right? If you're on the internet with Wi-Fi, you're not connected to anything. Remember, when Brother Branham, even you take 1945... I was looking into even the principles of radio was in the 1880s. 1880s? The principle, I said, not the radio, the principle of it. But remember, in 1945, you look at the tree of knowledge. Every time there's a war, there's an advancement after the war. Why? Because they bring the greatest scientists they have, they bring the greatest people they have, and they put them together and say, look, we need this. Then when now World War II was after, over in 1945, when did Brother Brown start preaching? 1947. They already had radio. So now that he can have that radio or that wire thing or that new advancement, he called it. So God is letting us use the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but man has used it to bring what? To bring all the raw things. I was thinking the other day, you know, even in 1962, you look at what Brother Branham was talking about going through. Now, sure, there was, how many of you remember even 1968 and 70, there was only four channels, right? Four television channels, 2, 5, 11. And if you got the antenna turned the right way, you might get Greenville one every once in a while and you could watch wrestling on Saturday morning. Hello, somebody. Didn't miss that. Wrestling. That was channel four. But you had to go outside and turn that. You see what that was from the 60s? Now look at, we've got what? 600-800 channels now that they got. Look at what we have to deal with. And you're going to think I'm an idiot. But listen. Brother Branham, when he was there in the 40s, think of the airwaves wasn't full of a lot of stuff. Understand what I mean? There was no internet. There was no cell phones. Didn't even have shortwave radios except the government had them, but you didn't have them. So when he said there was people going through here in 1963, even he talks about on the sixth seal, I believe it was, he's talking about voices going through this room, people going through the room. It wasn't so full. Think about right now how many billions of cell phones there are, and billions, I mean billions, there's not millions, there's billions of cell phones that are on now. Well, according to your pastor, you better not have them on right now. But if you turned your phone on, I could call Jamaica, stand right here and talk to Brother Keith Reed. Right? So his voice must be in this room somewhere. But the same guy that's watching pornography two doors down, I don't know who he is, doesn't matter. But you know what I'm saying? That's going through here too. What Brother Branham saw, he knew we would have to overcome all that. But you know what? So did God. God knew we would have to be equipped totally different. We had to be the astronaut that wore the helmet, that wore the pressurized suit. And you know, even in advancement, you know, they got up so far flying an airplane, and you get up to ever how many thousand feet, 12, 15, 18,000 feet, and your oxygen runs out. A lot of airplane pilots died because they tried to get on up a little bit higher and they didn't have any oxygen. Well, then the government comes up with the oxygen tank with a little, it wasn't nothing but a tube. You stuck the tube in your mouth and you got fresh oxygen so you could get up to 20,000 feet. But they were freezing themselves to death because it was like 5 degrees up there. But now, guess what? You and I fly 35 and 40,000 feet just in a regular jetliner. We're sitting there with slippers on, watching a television, playing on our cell phone, and eating a meal. Look at the difference. That tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's read this next quote, and then we'll read two quotes, and then we'll stop. Countdown, 1962. Now, we have known there's another dimension, which is the fourth dimension, because science has probed into it and found it, and it is radio. There's no senses of our body can detect radio or television over that ether wave. Yet right through us now is coming people's voices. And I'll tell you how fast it is in just a minute. Right through here is coming television pictures. But we have nothing in us, no way at all to contact that in ourselves. It takes a crystal of some sort. Now, some of you young kids don't realize it, but when we were all growing up, you know why it's AM 55.5 and 79 and 97 and 104.7 megahertz? Because in the old radios, Donnie, what'd you have? Diamonds. Real diamonds. Little bitty, teeny tiny ones, but they were cut a certain way. And that's what picked up a certain radio. So it was either 104, cut for 104.7. Cause remember, those of you that's old enough, Brother Gary Krantz knows what I'm talking about. How many remembers when AM FM was an option in a car? How many can remember when air conditioning was an option in a car? A motor. Oh, no. But these kids don't realize that. You could get standard AM with no air conditioning, no power steering. And have you ever done one of this with Wenda? Okay, some of you so not old enough to know that. But that was an option. But the radio was actually a dial, and it physically dialed, it physically pushed a little red line across. And what happened was is you would hit that crystal that was in that radio. Well, that crystal was cut at a certain ohm, and that certain ohm was what was in the air, the certain wave, and that's what picked that up. Of course, now it's done become digital and all this other stuff, but listen, that's how it got started. Right. And look what it is now. Right. You don't have a diamond in there. You don't have to put a Victrola needle in. If you ever, we used to have to change them needles, the old Victrola needle, you know, cause it just sit there and bounce. Play the same song all over again. Skip three or four times. They're coming back now. Has anybody seen those things? They're coming back now. Yeah. All that stuff. Deanna's got an old radio we bought her and of course, it's got all the advancements in it, but it looks like one of them old radios. And then now she wants a 45. She's got one, doesn't she? Yeah, John, she's got one. But anyway, all that old stuff comes back. Don't worry. But it ain't got the technology that it had before. And in a television, you've heard Brother Dale. And honestly, the television was as big as this thing right here. And the screen was about the size of that right there. And you had tubes. And it was hot. Man, it was hot. There were tubes about that big around that it had light, and you plugged them in, or you had somebody come by and work on them, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Look at the advancement. That fourth dimension has always been there, but man has now been able to tap into it now totally unlimited. Right. Can tap into it, put 600, one television, and put 600 channels through that one television. Right. Internet service, you get 10,000 YouTube videos. Comes right through your house, right into your little device. You know what? Use that for God. Amen. Say, God, I am now a receptor. I'm not just a cut diamond. I'm a receptor. Please give me that. Give me that knowledge. Not knowledge off the tree of life, but knowledge off of God. Pray and read your Bible. That's pretty tough. There's no sense in our body can detect it, but we have nothing in us, no way at all to contact that in ourselves. It takes a crystal of some sort, a magnet, to contact that. But it speaks that there is another dimension. Now that's four dimensions. Now let's go to Enticing Spirits, 1955. Now this morning we're going to talk about demons in spiritual form in the soul. They're in the soul the same as they are in the body. And we're bound to admit that we see them in people's body. Look at this now. Such as cancer and different diseases that's in the human body. Just recently, even cancer has been declared to be a fourth dimension disease. That it's in another dimension. Sure, it's demonology. Every disease is a fourth dimension disease, the beginning of it. That's why when Brother Bram could stand there, remember what's the first thing happened? The first sign he got was what? Vibration in his hand. Remember he said the vibration's gone? Remember it would pimple up and all these different things, but what was it? Vibration. He said, lady, the vibration's gone, your sickness is over. It was a vibration. What? It was another dimension. Those demons were, he said, oh, can't you hear that demon? That lady's got cancer over there and this lady's got cancer. There's a black line going from one to the other and there's two demons screaming at each other for help. Right. What dimension was he in? He wasn't in this one. Right. He was in the fourth dimension because he was a prophet. Right. Any other time he wouldn't see all that. Right. But most of the time he would always say, I don't know what dimension I'm in. I don't know where I'm at. Right. Thank God you and I don't have to go through that. But let me read you this real quick. You don't have that on there, Will. We're going to talk about hell next time because hell is not a burning place at this moment. We know that. Hell is a place of holding. It is a place reserved in the fifth dimension. And Brother Brown said you're caught between heaven and hell. I mean heaven and earth. You can't get back to earth. You can't go to heaven. But we'll cover that next time. I want to read this. It's not on there, so just listen to what I'm saying. I got this off the internet. Radio waves are a type of electromagnetic radiation, best known for their use in communication technologies such as television, mobile phones, and radios. These devices receive radio waves and convert them to mechanical vibrations in the speakers to create sound waves. It's in waves. Listen to this. The radio frequency spectrum is a relatively small part of electromagnetic spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum is generally divided into seven regions. Wake up. If this don't interest you, you can go outside. Seven regions. In order of decreasing wavelength and increasing energy and frequency. According to the University of Rochester, the common designations are radio waves, microwaves, infrared rays, visible light, ultraviolet, X-ray, and gamma rays. Guess where we're stuck at? Out of those seven, we're stuck right in the middle. Visible light's the only thing we can see. And what is invisible light? I mean visible light. All the others invisible. We can't see them. But we can see visible light. Oh, come on. We see seven colors. God not only put that in the sky back in Noah's time, He was telling us that's what you're going to see. That's all you're going to see. You're going to see. Because the seven colors of the rainbow encompasses every color that you've ever seen. How many of you ever went to Home Depot and they got colors for everything? They got this wall plastered. They come from seven colors of the rainbow. And you can only see, you and I can only see the seven colors of the rainbow. We can't see radio waves. We can't see microwave. We can't see infrared. We can't see ultraviolet. We can't see X-ray and we can't see gamma rays. But you know what? There is a device, and I'm not going to go through it. There's a device for each one of them where you can see them. You can see the manifestation of them. All right? The same way with God. But watch this. Listen to this. I'll tell you how fast this is, and then we'll close. Radio waves have the longest wavelength in the ultra electromagnetic spectrum, according to NASA, ranging from 0.04 inches to more than 62 miles. They also have the lowest frequency. Listen to this. Radio waves, the slowest frequency of radio waves travels 3,000 cycles per second. When you say 1,001, it's already circled a three, it's already done 3,000 cycles. When you say 1,001, that's how fast it is. But they have the high spectrum, which is 300 billion hertz or 300 gigahertz, which means it cycles 300 billion times in 1 second. That's how fast that radio wave is. That's why it can go through. And they go, listen, they go through and they tell you that, you know, you don't need much for here, for surface. Right? You don't need much because there's nothing to, you have to go through. Them little walkie-talkies you get. But now what about if you want to talk to a submarine? What about if you want to talk to miners that are 20 miles into the ground? They can talk to them. They just change the speed of the radio wave. And it penetrates further down. Now this is limited man. What do you think God speaks to you with? Because you know what? Sometimes minding your head is a lot harder than anything man's had to penetrate, on this earth. Doesn't matter how many miles down or how many miles up. You know, they can communicate with satellites now that are on the moon and the one at Mars. They got pictures. Guess what? That cycle is over 300 billion cycles per second to get that picture. Who knows how many miles it is from here to Mars? It's further from here to California. I promise you that. But those radio, those things are coming and we're picking up pictures of another world. Listen, by spiritual eyesight though. See, that's limited what man has done. Let's stand. Come on, musician. By limited man, we seem like we're almost unlimited. But we haven't picked, listen. When a man passes away, the Bible says it doesn't matter if he's in the depth of the sea. Isn't that what the Bible says? That soul is going to go into some dimension. Doesn't matter if you're 10,000 miles down in the earth and you die. They're not going to have to dig a hole to get you out. Sure, your kookaburra is going to stay there, but your soul is going to go right into another dimension. A faster dimension, a faster wave. That's way past the 300 billion because 300 billion, you can go right through that wall and not even bother anything. Even at 3,000 cycles per second, we're hearing radio. I mean, you put a little radio right here and you can pick up radio waves right here at 3,000, which is going through that wall at supersonic speed. And listen, folks, your new birth puts you in another dimension in your soul. Your body's stuck in this, but your soul is sitting in heavenly places. Your soul is communing with a God that can travel. He doesn't need dimension 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sure, we know he lives in 7 right now, but he can still come down here and visit you. He can still come down here and talk to you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He can come right there in your room and, like I said before, go through the thickest thing that ever was made on the face of the earth, and that's your skull, to get to your brain to tell you that he loves you, to tell you that this plan of redemption, it's eternal. So how do you exhaust anything that's eternal? We're going to be talking about this plan. If, you know, we got Bible. Sure, that Bible. But, you know, you can read that Bible in probably a good day. You could probably read it if you read fast enough, but you didn't get enough, won't get much out of it. But what about living this thing, though? What about making each character come alive and each witness, and each time somebody gets born again by one scripture, then it opens up a whole nother world. How many worlds is a soul worth? 10,000 worlds. Unlimited. 10,000 worlds. We think this earth is great. Your soul is worth more than 10,000 worlds. But you know what? God didn't leave us in this dimension, folks. He made a way for us to either get out of here by death or get out of here by the chains of the body, we are going to go into another dimension. And by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're already in that dimension. What we got to do is let it start working on this thing. He's still working on me, right? Amen? Let's sing a song. God bless you. But that fourth dimension is right here. God uses it, but Satan uses it too. Children, listen, we're influenced by the fourth dimension, either good or bad. Because it's bombarding us, whether we know it or not, it's right there beating us. And because you know what? You're a spiritual being. Right? You're human, but you got a spirituality, a part of you that is faster than the speed of light. Your soul. But when you get born again, God, thank God, He seals that in. But see, still that spirit world, though, that spirit world twirls around that, Brother Chris, and Satan can jump right in there by that fourth dimension, and he can try to influence me and you. But you know what? God said, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You don't have to chant. You don't have to even call the pastor for that one. It's good to call and get the pastor to pray for you. Don't get me wrong. But if the devil's beating on you, just resist him. Start singing. Boy, that'll do it. Start singing a good gospel song. That'll do it. I guarantee you that'll make him want to leave. So let's sing a song. God bless you.
Yeah, Brother Wade, I remember, today's the anniversary of the cloud.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Today's the anniversary of the cloud appearing?
February 28th.
That's right. It is February 28th. That's right. So anyway, so I didn't know that, but thank you. God bless you. That cloud is real.
Amen.
That cloud was given to us for a sign. That cloud was not, it was not William Branham, it's that man right there, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
William Branham just happened to be the what? He was the radio.
Amen.
He was the receptor though, but what did he do? He slowed it down. Boy, I just got that. He slowed it down.
Yeah.
Even he spoke slow. His slow Kentucky English. But you know what? That was God speaking to me and you.
Right.
He came from that other dimension and gave it to the prophet, and the prophet broke it down and gave it to me and you. Right here in this dimension. Listen, we needed it, had to have it. You can't get it any other way. You cannot leave this earth without having this message in you and it be alive. Okay? I'm sorry. You just can't.
It is February 28th.
Yes, it is February 28th. You're right. It's February 28th. You're right, man. You're right. If I didn't know that was the day that I thought it was in March, but March is when he went out to Arizona and...
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. Anyway,
February 28th,
okay.
Right.
Brother Chris knows. See, he don't have no hair. We have hair and it kind of bounces off. We don't get much revelation, but them bald-headed ones, they get pretty good revelation. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
Amen. Let's sing I'll Fly Away.
Fly Away.
Oh, some glad morning when this life is over.
Oh, I'll fly away. Oh.
fly away.
Let them play an extra. And don't, hey, hold on, stop. Stop. Thank you. Every time, you listening to me? Every time the song leader says, let's let them play one, they're playing their heart out when you're singing. And then they go, right? You can't hardly hear them. I want to hear every one of you just like we're not singing. I mean, like we are singing. You got it?
Amen.
Do it for the glory of the Lord. If you ain't got a set of lungs, use your hands for your lungs. All right, so we're going to sing I'll Fly Away, and then they're going to play one verse. You ready? I want to hear it. Are we going to do it again? Football coach said, do it again. Didn't do it right that time. I'm not talking just to you. It's okay. Oh, I'm going to fly away, oh, glory. See what I mean? This age, we're supposed to not stand and look up. And you know how Brother Branham would stand and he'd look up. He said, I always wanted to go places. I'd see them airplanes go across. But right there where me and Terrence and Anna and Daddy live is the flight pattern from the north part of Hartsville. Well, when it was going very well, every minute there'd be a plane in three sections. Here they come. And you know what? There was people up there in them. And there was 30,000 feet between me and those people. But there ain't 30,000 feet between you and God.
Glory.
You ain't got to get up there. You already got the vehicle inside your soul to bring that God to here. Every day, God's not over the sea. He's not away from you anywhere. But you and I must realize we're heading toward the end of this thing.
Right.
And it's okay. We can learn. You know, it's nice to learn the dimensions and all, but use them. Use them for the glory of the Lord. Call out to God.
Glory.
Study. Read your Bible. Pray. Pray. You don't have to plug in anything. Just pray. Pray without ceasing. Go down the road. I know Brother Ryan does. He sits there with live chickens all day long. How'd an eagle get caught with chicken? Exactly. But anyway, I mean, but you do study though, right? I mean, I love Brother Ryan. He gets his study time in, sitting in the truck. How many of y'all study just kind of sitting? Don't do it at a red light, but you pray without ceasing. Listen, you don't need an instrument to contact God with. I wish it was that easy, Brother Ray. We'd go, now for $49.95 and two Ginsu knives, you can have this device that'll help you talk to God. Well, everybody buy one and get the two knives. But you don't have to have that. All you got to have is what? A soul.
Amen.
All you got to have is a soul. That's what God wants to contact. He wants to contact your soul.
Glory.
Remember what Brother Brown said? If I can ever get that soul, what? Still, long enough. What? Realize you're lost. Realize now that you're born again. Realize that you're going up the statue of a perfect man. Realize that we need God more than anything else we need in this world. And that prayer is cheap. Doesn't cost a dime. You don't have to get hooked up to anything. Talk to God, please, and let Him talk back to you. Let's make this year, like I said before, let's make this year to let that inside guy talk. Let him out. He wants out. He is in a prison house called your own self. But if you'll let him out of inside here, you musicians, same thing. Let it out. Pour it out to God and He'll pour it back to you. And I hope He pours it out where you can't control it. And your spoon will fall out of your bowl. Right, Aaron? God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray that something, Lord, has been said to help us, Lord. Tomorrow we go back and fight the devil. Probably going to have to fight him once we get out the doors of the church. But Father, you give us equipment. It's not anything we have to buy. We don't have to go to Publisher's Clearinghouse or any other place to buy these things. You've equipped us, Lord, with everything we need to get out of here. Father, you've given us eternal life in our soul. And Lord, I pray that you'll let that thing speak more than anything. Let it speak to the demons. Let it speak to whatever's bothering each individual, whether it be your family, Lord, your friends, and anybody, Lord, sickness, disease, and all these different things, Lord. Let that thing inside speak, because without you, Lord, we're nothing. We have to depend on doctors and mechanics and all these different things that we're stuck in this three dimensions. But Lord, we're not stuck in our soul. Our soul is eternal. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we should have a full direct line to you in any dimension you decide to be in. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch us now, Lord. Give us, Lord, supernatural strength. Be with Brother Dale, Lord, Wednesday night as he comes to minister. Be with us during the week. Father, bless the musicians, the song leaders, all the different ones that has a position, and even the ones, Lord, that fills the pew and says amen, Lord. We pray that you just bless each one. Yes. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Be with us. Give us your loving kindness, Lord. We need it more than anything. Yes. It's just maybe not we have to literally feel your presence, but we know you're here. Yes. We know you're here. We know you've sent a prophet. He's gone off the scene. He's left us the word. He's left it here that we can hear it. And Lord, I pray now that we'll let it not just be a thundering noise, not let it just be words on a page, but Lord, let it be a living reality in our heart. Father, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. Bless each one on the highways, Lord, as we come back together, Lord, as one in you. And on Wednesday night, Lord, be with each one. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes and faults. We love you for all the many blessings that you've already given us, Lord. And we pray that you just pile on more for us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.